We continue our scripture reading in 1 Samuel. Today we come to 1 Samuel chapter 5. We'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 to 12. Now you'll hear people say today that they don't believe in God, they don't care about religion at all because of what they see in the church. And they talk about all the things that they can find, hypocritical leaders, fallen leaders, mean people, and there's plenty of evidence for all of that. And that's more or less the way the Philistines thought of the Israelites. They just conquered them in battle, and the Israelites were so unimpressive. Who'd want to be one of them? And they had these corrupt sons, Hophni and Phinehas, of the high priest. God himself had abandoned them. They brought the Ark of the Covenant out to battle, thinking it was their magic box. It was like their source of power, and God didn't help them at all. They lost, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this chapter, then, is what happens to the Philistines and why they, in fact, need to get right with God. And they said, why would we need to get right with that God? And they took the Ark. The Ark is this gold box, acacia wood box. In it are the Ten Commandments. There's the gold angels on top. There's theological significance of this. And they've captured it, and they place it in the temple of their God. That's what you did. You defeated somebody, your God defeated their God, and so whatever sacred symbol they had, it'd be at the feet of your God in the temple. But not so easy when it comes to the Lord. One thing that happens, everybody starts dying in these Philistine cities. First in Ashdod, the tumors hit them. It's more or less the bubonic plague. People are dying. They realize it's the Ark of the Covenant, so they get rid of it. They send it to Gaza. Well, same thing happens there. People are dying in droves. Well, get rid of it, send it to Ekron. Same thing happens, and the people end up crying out, the Lord's going to destroy us. In fact, chapter 6 is the rather comical attempt. How do we give it back? What's the proper procedure for getting rid of the God of Israel? But what's really interesting here is what happens at the beginning. They put the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon, and the first night, they come the next day, and the statue of Dagon, their abominable god, is falling on the ground. They're like, well, that's awkward. Our idol has fallen before the Ark of the Covenant. So what they do is they put it back up. Well, the next day they come back, and it's fallen on the ground, but its head and its hands are lopped off. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones preached a sermon in the late 20th century, I think accurately saying that this is exactly a picture of what the Western world has done in its rejection of the Bible and its commitment to secular humanism, which was more or less the religion of the Philistines. And he points out how the 20th century began with the Titanic and this great ship. That, of course, you know the designer of the Titanic said, even God could not sink this ship. Let me give you some advice. Get off that ship if they say that. And you know what happens to the Titanic in this terrible tragedy. Down it goes. But there's no repentance, maybe briefly. There's no repentance. They quickly forget about it. They put Dagon back on his shelf, and they move on. Then World War I happens. Well, something's going wrong. Our whole humanistic system's not doing well. There's all this mass death. But when it's over, they actually had the temerity to name it the war to end all wars. And you look back historically, you can go, I'm not sure that you were right in giving it that name. Why did you think that? What made you think it was the end of war to end all wars? It was just them putting Dagon back up. And then World War II happens. There's crisis after this, all the genocides of the 20th century. You go into the 21st century. Many of us remember 9/11. I remember which was kind of a worldview shake. I was in Philadelphia at the time. Philadelphia was close to New York City. A lot of people knew people there. Some of them actually worked in New York City. And pandemonium broke down. It was a worldview shattering. And I remember the president said, well, I went to their special services. I actually preached a sermon that was broadcast to the entire city of Philadelphia on the AM news network. And you're thinking there's going to be a great breakthrough. No. There were big crowds for about 2 weeks, and then Dagon got put back up. The idol of, there's no repentance, and it moves on to the next thing. The message to the Philistines, it's the message to our times, is it doesn't matter what you think of the church, you need to get right with God. There is a God, he's a true and living God. You can play games with him, but he is not going to play games with you. There is judgment, he's a God of wrath, but also of mercy. And the Philistines are being shown they need to deal with it. Whatever they think of Israel, it does not matter. He is their God. He is your God. But there's a great message to Israel here as well. Because Israel's been defeated, and the reason they're in such a deplorable situation, and they are at the end of 1 Samuel 5 and 6, It's not because God had failed them. It's not like, here's the message, it's not like God has lost his vitality. It's not like he's lost his potency. Oh, no, he's displaying his potency. The church needs to repent as well. Those are the two things in our time. Our society needs to confess its unbelief and idolatry. Stop putting the dag on of secular humanism or neo-paganism, whatever we have now, but to repent before the Lord, and the church needs to do the same. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, 1 Samuel 5. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen down faceward on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priests of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." So they brought the ark of the God of Israel there. But after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic, and he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out against them. So they sent the ark of the God onto Ekron. But as soon as the ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen.